Sorry. My notes went away here. I'm not sure. Thought I was going to be preaching by heart here for a second, but I think it came back again. So, first of all, this morning, I just want to say it's good to see each one here. And I also want to say thank you for your offering and your generosity this morning. We appreciate that, and thank you for what you give and the way that you support us. Also this morning, before I get started, I just want to talk a little bit. I had a call with the others that are on the Disaster Relief Board, and so just wanted to give, I put a bulletin or a flyer back on the bulletin this morning, so if you're interested in going and helping somewhere, we are looking at doing, I believe, about 3 weeks in Kentucky again, and this is where we have been before, and we framed up some houses there about a year ago, and they called us and said that they are about to frame a few houses again and would absolutely love if we would come back, and so we're going to try to go back there for several weeks to do some framing and working on houses, framing, finishing houses, some that were started, and so forth. They're looking at sometime in October if you want that. And there's also a campground in North Carolina that was hit by the flood, and they have contacted us, and we've been in touch with them, heard some stories from them, and we'd like to go up and do some work for them as well. They own the campground there, and they have not been able to open again since the flood. It's going on a year now, and they have had no income because, of course, they had to shut down, and it destroyed the place there. And I have it later on in my sermon, so you're going to have to wait a little bit for the story on that they gave for that. But we are looking, we'd like to go up there. They would absolutely love to have at least a couple cabins open by October because that's their biggest month. At this point, they're not ready. So they said, I mean, they're not telling us, you know, hey, you need to come and get us open by October. They're not by any means saying that, but they would absolutely love if they would be able to get something set up to where they could. So we're looking to see if there's any way we could get there maybe in September to do some help there to get them, to help them get up and going. Anyhow, so I put a flyer back on the bulletin, and so if you're interested in that, look at that, and there's a contact on there. Jerry's number's on there. You can contact him, and he'll get you scheduled in. So for this morning, for what I feel that God showed me to preach about 2 weeks ago, Dale was preaching out of Philippians 2, and he was reading down through, and of course, I had just preached the Sunday before, and so then it's like, okay, so what's coming in several weeks? It's like, it's always on your mind, and of course, the other thing is like, what are they preaching about? Because I don't want to overlap and, you know, preach the same message, you know, twice in the same month. And Dale was reading down through Philippians 2, and he stopped at verse 11, and my brakes didn't work, and I kept going. And the heading of the next one caught my attention, and I said, well, that's an interesting heading, maybe. In my Bible, it just says, do everything without grumbling. And I said, well, maybe, maybe not, and kind of left it with that. But my mind went there a number of times through that next week. And by the next Sunday, I was like, well, I'm still not sure. And doesn't Curtis go? And he reads out of Philippians 2 again. And right there again. And I see that. And so it's on my mind. And a couple of things happened over those 2 weeks to me that I wanted to grumble a little bit. And this came to my mind. And one of them was this past week. I had a busy week, and I was trying to get ready to pour some concrete. And, of course, Tuesday night, I'm trying to get the last things finished up, and I'm trying to change some blades on a power trowel and get it ready. And, of course, I twisted off a bolt, and I said, well, that's okay. It's the old blade. We're okay. Well, I went and put the new one on, and I twisted it off, and I started maybe groaning a little. I wanted to complain a little bit, and this came to my mind again. And, you know, And that kind of, I said, you know what, I think that's what God, if nothing else, it's just a reminder for me. So I titled it, Complaining or Thanks, What Will It Be? I'm going to go ahead and read in Philippians 2 and start at verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among the stars, like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, when we're reading that, and he talks about the grumbling and complaining, and then just right after that, he talks about the warped and crooked generation. What Paul is referring to here is the children of Israel. That was the exact words that were described. The children of Israel were described with in the Old Testament as they were wandering in the wilderness. Psalm 9:1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will count all of your wonderful deeds. This morning I want to go back into the Old Testament a little bit and look at the murmuring of the children of Israel, at their complaints. And I would love to look at it as the progression of grumbling and then take the progression of thanksgiving, and I don't think I'm going to have enough time for that this morning, so we may look at the progression of grumbling and then talk a little bit about thanks, maybe come back and look at the progression of thanksgiving at a different time. This morning I would like to look at the progression and the danger when we harbor discontentment. There was a quote that I ran across that said, complaining is dangerous business. It can damage or even destroy your relationship with God, your relationship with other people, and even your relationship with yourself. There was also a writing that said, thanksgiving, the more you choose it, the easier it gets. The more you profess gratitude, the more you notice the things around you to be grateful for. And I'm not going to read all of the references or all the scripture this morning on the children of Israel. We'd be here till we'd have a service this evening as well. But as we look at the children of Israel, as they were ready to leave out of Egypt, I'm going to go down through. They complained 10 times. Actually, there was 16 times that they complained. And I will give you the references if you're interested in reading them. I will give the references so you can go back and read them at a different time if you want to. The first one is in Exodus 5. And this is where the children of Israel complained when Moses came to Pharaoh. And after he talked to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, he told them, the children of Israel, that they had to get their own straw and still make the same amount of bricks. And the children of Israel complained to Moses and asked Moses to leave them alone. In Exodus 6:5, it says, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel who the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. God remembered his covenant to Abraham and to the children. And then Moses told the children of Israel, he said, watch and see how God will work. And we know God did work as he moves Pharaoh to where Pharaoh sent the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The second time was the second one was at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, verse 12 to 14. And they said this, is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Now, this is after they had got to the Red Sea, and now the Egyptians were coming, and they were catching up with them, and they didn't know how they were going to get across the water. And they said, is this not what we have said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have then been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Again, they were complaining, murmuring, showing the lack of trust in God's plan and God's provision. The third time was in Exodus 15, verse 22. And this was just a couple of days later after they had left here, and they went on into the wilderness on their travels. And the water, as they came to the water was bitter. And they grumbled against Moses and said, what shall we drink? They had just seen the uncrossable water divided. They had just seen Pharaoh send them out of the land. Just days before, they sang the wonderful song in Exodus 15, recognizing the power and the deliverance, the great deliverance of God. Is the great God who just took them through these waters not able to supply their need? Yet they became discontented. But God was faithful, showing them that none of this was too hard for him. God again gave them a way and supplied their need. Yet how often God does something like that for us, and we so quickly forget. The fourth one is in Exodus 16, verse 1 through 12. This is when they were hungry. And Moses' response was to the people was this, when the Lord gives you an evening to eat and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. And as soon as Aaron spoke, the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. I have heard the grumbling of Israel. Say to them, at twilight ye shall eat meat, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Again, amongst their discontentment, God showed up, and God took care of them. Again, showing himself strong, that he is able to take care of them. He just was waiting for them to trust and to look to him. The fifth one is the water thirsty. They were thirsty again in Exodus 17. This is the third time that they were now concerned for their physical provision. And Moses' question to them is, why will you test the Lord? But they went on, they grumbled, why he had brought them out of Egypt. They remembered all the good eating, the things that they had in Egypt. Sin may look so good, but the undercurrent is hard and painful. The children of Israel show a hardness of heart. They weren't so much different than what Pharaoh in Egypt was. Again, God provided for them, even in their discontentment. The sixth time starts a little bit of a switch. It changes a little bit. And this one's in Exodus 32, verse 1 to 28. And this is where Moses went up into the mountain, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And while he was gone, the children complained about Moses' absence, and quickly turned away and began to serve idols. It is in this time, from this time on, that the complaining, the discontentment began to receive consequences. In verse 9, the Lord said this to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you. And if you go on to read about it, Moses interceded for the people. Moses cried out to God. This is the time that Moses said, If you can, you can take my name out of the book, out of your book, or the book of life. He offered to give up himself for the people. And God forgave the people. And yet God said there would be punishment here. And this one, 3,000 people died. And God said he would send an angel to go up among them, that he would not go up among them into the promised land because they are a stiff-necked people. And again, if you go on and read, Moses interceded again, and God said he would go up with them. The seventh and eighth are both the next in Numbers 11. Here the children were complaining about their misfortunes. And it says, and when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them on the outlying parts of the camp. The people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. Here, it was just like a twisted off bolt or a broken down truck, maybe. It wasn't necessarily so much their food. It was just that they were having a hard time. It was hard things that they were facing. It was misfortunes. But they started to murmur against God and against Moses about it. They complained about the difficulties. They failed to look at God's promises. Right after the fire consumed some of them here, they went on to weep about, again, all the good things that they had in Egypt. And it is here that Moses cried out to God about the burden being too heavy, and God gave him extra help with leading the people. The ninth one is in Numbers 12. And this one, the protest comes as an even more painful to Moses, as Aaron and Miriam challenge Moses' authority. It really comes as a complaint in Numbers 12, too. Has the Lord indeed only spoken through Moses? The Lord in this, the Lord himself this time speaks to Moses and Aaron, or to Moses, I'm sorry, to Miriam and Aaron. And this is a time when Miriam became leprous. And again, Moses cried out for in behalf of Miriam. And God said that he would heal her, but she must bear the shame for 7 days on the outside of the camp. The tenth time is in Numbers 14, 1 through 9. And this time, the people lost sight altogether of God's deliverance and promises. This is where they sent spies to go check out the land. And when the spies came back, they gave a report of the land that it was the people were too great and they weren't able to go into the land. And the people complained against Moses and Aaron and God that they would bring him into the wilderness to die here, to die by the sword. We all know the story. Joshua and Caleb gave a good report that God had promised it to them and they should go at once. But instead, the people set out to stone Joshua and Caleb, and then God intervened. This is what the Lord said to them at this time. How long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with this pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Again, Moses called out to God in intercession for the people. And again, God agreed not to just destroy the people. But in verse 20, the Lord said this, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despise me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he went. And his descendants shall possess it. How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and all of your number, listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said, and in my hearing I will do to you. Not one shall come into the land that I swore that I would make you to dwell, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said should become prey, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years, and shall suffer from your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness. Their discontentment, their grumbling, progressed to where they lost the promise. The land that they looked forward to see to go to, never to be seen. As I went back and looked from what I could find, it was in about a year's time that they had lost their promise. What they accused Moses of bringing him into the wilderness to die happened, but it wasn't of Moses. It was their discontentment and unbelief, the hardness of the heart, that cost them. Now, if you go on, their complaining didn't stop here. There was another 6 of them, and I'm not going to read many of those. I will run out of time. I will just go down through them quick and tell you what the individual ones are and where they're found, and you can read this afternoon if you like. Numbers 14, the people wanted to kill Moses. And then in Numbers 16, this is where they rebelled against Moses, and the ground swallowed a bunch of them. And then right after that, the next day, they grumbled against Moses and said that he killed the people, and there's where 14,700 of them died from that plague as well. Numbers 17, they murmured against Aaron, and God showed favor by Aaron's rod budding. In Numbers 20, there was no water again, and this is the time that Moses struck the rock, and Moses was no longer able to enter the promised land as well. And then in Numbers 21, they complained against God and Moses, and this is where there was fiery serpents, and many died unless they looked at the serpent. And this is what, if you were to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul talks about it, this is what he talks about in 1 Corinthians 10. If we stay here, it's sad, kind of depressing, as we look at the complaints and as we look at how they lost the promise. This morning, I don't want to stay there. I want to go to giving thanks as well. What can we learn? First of all, God is still the same God He was then and He is today. God hasn't changed. His power is still the same. His power is still revealed. And He wants His name to be known among the earth, the same as He did with the children of Israel. You know, we look at the children of Israel, miracles happen, how God supplied their needs, how God divided the water. Miracles still happen today as well. In North Carolina, I'll give you your story now. In North Carolina, as we had a call this week, and they were telling the story from the camp when the flood was coming through, and there was a group of 40 men that were scheduled to go to this camp, and the camp owner called him and said, listen, there's some bad weather coming. I really don't think y'all should come. And it was these 40 men said, well, they're packed. They're planning on it. They think they'll go ahead and come anyway. The owner called him back and said, really, there's a bad storm coming. I really don't think y'all should come. And they said, well, we're ready to come. We think we'll come. And I think it was the third time that he called him and he said, you know, really, I really just don't think y'all should come. And they said, well, I'll tell you what. They said, we're having a prayer meeting tonight. We're going to pray about it. And then we'll let you know in the morning what we decide. So they had a prayer meeting that night, and these men called them back, and they said, we prayed about it, and we feel God's really saying that we need to come, so we're planning on coming, so we're going to go ahead and come on. So these 40 men came, and this rain started. On the back of their vehicle, they had a platform where they put their luggage and so forth on it, and for no known reason, nobody didn't have a purpose for putting it on, but there was a marine rope that was thrown on the back of this vehicle. Well, the rain started and started washing campers. Campers started moving. People were trying to evacuate, and they went for this rope. And they tied this rope off, and these 40 men worked along the side of this rope, hanging on to keep them there. And it was by this rope that many of the people were rescued from this camp. There was about 70 campers that were washed away, and among those, I think two people actually died out of those that were washed away. But the death toll would have been much greater had these men had not come. Now, the owner of the campground told him later, he said, I'm glad you listened to God and not to me. You know, they've been shut down for a year. They haven't been able to open back up. Their income is gone. We haven't heard them complain, but they could. They could turn to complaining. Why them? Why can't we get it up and running? You know, while they were rescuing these people, there was an elderly couple somewhere around in their 80s. I think one was just under 80, the other was just over 80. While they were rescuing them, another camper bumped up against theirs, washed down, and they were trapped in their camper and weren't able to get out. So eventually they were able to break away free, and they jumped out the window. I believe it broke out a window, jumped out the window into the water, and they found something to hang on to keep them afloat. But before anything else could be done, the water washed them downstream. They were standing here. This was friends. This were people that come every year. They knew them well, and they saw them washed away. They just sat down and cried. What could they do? Now, these two people were found about 2 to 3 miles downstream somewhere. They found them, and they did survive. They were bumped and bruised, but they actually were okay. It would seem like they would have a reason to complain. Thankfulness is a choice. Complaining is a choice. Which one will I choose? We can be discontent, and it will grow and bring shame and consequences, like we saw in Israel. Or we can choose gratitude and trust and bring glory to our Creator, the one who has all things under His control. Scripture has examples of those as well that trusted Him. We can look at Daniel, we can look at Esther, we can look at Paul, there's many more. That while they went through some extremely hard times, they gave thanks and brought glory to their Creator. We can always find something to give thanks for. You know, this week I was delivering a building and pulled up, and the person I was delivering to seemed kind of grumpy, and it was kind of like you kind of were treading around carefully. And ended up they were a very, very nice couple. We got talking, and anyhow, he actually installs Dish Network, and so we got talking about some of the worst situations we've been in. And anyhow, they found out that they actually did foster care for a little bit, and he was out installing one. And while he was installing, he was in a room installing this dish, And he was talking about the pretty, it was some terrible living conditions that they were in. And then he found, he said while he was there, he heard a baby make a noise, and there was two babies in a crib, and there were bugs crawling around on them. And anyhow, and he said that was too much. You know, each of us, as we look how we have grown up, and I thought of the children, you might think you have some tough, hard times, and yet, I don't think you have bugs crawling over you, do you? You know, there's something every one of us can be thankful for. There was a quote, "Complaining doesn't change a situation. It only changes your perception of it. Choose to see the good and find the gratitude." Billy Graham said this, "Grumbling and gratitude are for the child of God in conflict. Be grateful and you won't grumble. Grumble and you won't be grateful." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." In Colossians 3:15, it says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." It is not always easy to be thankful, but it should be a habit that we develop. There's another quote, "Complaining is a habit that can be broken. Choose to cultivate a mindset of gratitude and positivity instead." The choice of praise brings glory to our God. When we praise in hard times, when we praise anytime, shows others and yourself that you will trust in God regardless of the situation. You will stand on his promises. Hebrews 13:5 says we are to be content. And then right behind where it says be content, he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul talked about the children of Israel. He talked about the fiery serpent. He said, we must not put Christ to the test as some did and were destroyed by serpents. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And then he said this, "God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." This morning, Walter talked in Sunday school, and I liked the picture that he gave of the Spirit walking beside us and helping us and interceding for us. And that picture of, you know, we have to get to this point, and there's some hard things we got to do to get there, but he's there, he's interceding, and he's helping us through. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or go through something that you're not able to endure, but he will provide a way of escape that you and I can endure it. Sometimes we feel like we're in a rose bush, but give thanks for the roses among the thorns. Listen to the verse in Philippians 2 again that we started out with. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that ye may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, And I want us to hear these last couple words of that verse, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Talking about those around us, we are to be a light. And a thankless and grumbling life produces very dim light at its best. May we choose a life of gratitude that betrays our trust in God's promises and confidence in His word that He will carry us through whatever we're called to face. I want to end this morning with this quote by Bridget Thomas. It says, "The world already has enough complainers. Let's spread light by practicing gratitude." Again, the world already has enough complainers. Let's spread light by practicing gratitude. May we, as we go through this week, go through life, be thankful and show God's light to those people by our thanksgiving and trusting in Him. Brian, do you have a song?
Faith and Praise 226.
All right, 226 in the Faith and Praise, and you can stand. All right, let's pray. Thank you, God, this morning for your faithfulness. God, as we look and we read through your scripture, we see your faithfulness all through scripture, that you're there, your promises, and that you will carry us. So, God, today we want to put our trust in you and ask you to help us walk as lights in this world that we live in. God, today I just pray for each one as we go from here. Pray that you would be with us and help us to live a life that brings glory to you. And God, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.